And what a week this has been. This week I didn't get a lot of time because the rain had me kind of, you know, it kind of makes you not really feel like doing much of anything whenever it's so rainy and messed up. And we didn't get to some things around here like the mowing that we needed to do and things like that. And then the whole week all I could think about is this Riverbend thing that's coming up. I was asked to come out there and lead worship for what I thought was a youth group. It turned out to be for their weekend counselors and all their staff. It was this big staff thing. And they asked me to come out and lead worship on Friday and Saturday night. And whenever he first asked me, it was at 7 p.m. on Friday and 8:30 a.m. on Saturday. And I was like, okay, so I make some. So let me make some phone calls and make sure I can get some people to help me with this, because you guys want somebody that's really, you know, called into worship leading if we can get somebody like that. So I made some calls, and BJ says, no, I'm not going to do anything until the Camp at the Coast is over with. I need to spend all the time I can with my family because I'm going to be away from them. And so I called Dylan that also leads for the youth over there, and he says, well, I can't do Friday night because it's graduation. I'd forgotten about graduation. And then he comes up and says, but I can do 8:30 a.m. on Saturday. I got somebody to do this with me, so I'm good. So I call back the guy and said, I got somebody to help me Saturday. I'll find somebody to help Friday, so let's not worry about it, and I'll just say that I'll do it. So I keep on going through the weekend. I'm making more and more phone calls. I'm asking all these different musicians and worship leaders that I know, hey, can you come help me with this thing? And everybody's saying no, 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 so I'm kind of sweating it. Then on Friday afternoon, I still had absolutely no one. Deaths and people's churches and just all these different things that happened that everyone that had said they might could help me was unable to. So I asked Amber if she would come up there and help me, and she said that she would. So Amber was my worship leader that was there, and we went up there on Friday night, and nervous because, you know, I've sang here, I've sang in Walnut Springs Little Church for their youth, and at this thing we're up on a, you know, high rise stage, and it's like, you know, pretty cool. But we had a really good time doing that. But after last night, when we were leaving about 9 o'clock, I tell Amber in the van on the way home, like, I gotta have some time this evening because I don't know what I'm gonna talk about tomorrow. I've been praying. What do you want me to talk about, God? And just nothing. All these different things were coming up, but nothing was really solid. So I said, as soon as I get home, I'm gonna go to our room. I'm going to just sit down and I'm going to pray and I'm gonna figure out what God wants me to talk about. So I got home and I got on Facebook. Not right to what I should be doing. And I was scrolling up through the feed and I look at some things, and whenever I was doing that, three different things really kind of stood out to me, and that's whenever I started feeling like God was telling me what I needed to talk about today. And that seems to be how it works for me, is sometimes it can be early in the week and it's just clear in what God is wanting me to talk about. But then whenever I sit down, I just start writing and it just kind of flows out. And whenever I'm all done, I let Amber read over everything, make sure that it's clear, concise, and sometimes she has to help me arrange some things to make it make more sense to other people besides myself. But the three things that stood out, one, you can put up the clock up there if you want to, Big Dave, the starting slide. Today's going to be kind of about time is ticking away, but the first thing that stood out is President Joe Biden's son, Beau, passed away yesterday of brain cancer. And so this morning we have some hurting families out there where that is. He left behind a wife, and he had children, and of course, Joe and his wife are missing their son. And all the political things aside, it's a family member out there, and there's so many people that are talking about things on Facebook, and there's Christians would come onto the news things and put a comment about, that's really sad, we should lift up their families, and I hope that he knew Jesus. And then the atheists come in, and they attack the Christians, and that's the world that we live in. But so President Joe Biden's son. And the next thing that I saw whenever I'm scrolling up through the feed is all the graduation pictures from Friday night. And I got one of those for you. The Glen Rose 2015 class that just graduated on Friday night. So all these kids out there are about to start their new lives. And one thing that really rang with me is that some of these kids that are graduating are my friend's kids. So I've got a lot of really old friends. Okay, so they're like my age, but but they've got kids that are graduating this year. And I'm fortunate. I have a hard time thinking about that, but with Katie being only 15 years old, you know, my oldest kid is still 15, three more years before graduation stuff. So it's hard to fathom all these kids that I'm old enough to be their dad, but thankfully I'm not. And then another kind of cool thing is out at Riverbend, the guy that called me up, Lucas Bishop. Do any of y'all know Lucas out there? He has been married for almost 17 years, and his oldest kid is younger than Buddy. So he's been married as long as we have, but his oldest kid is 8, said almost 9 years old, and then they've got two younger than that. So that's just crazy, but still know that they're blessed because kids are blessings in our lives. But with the kids graduating, it still makes me think about how time is passing so quickly that we don't even notice it, and we only get, you know, a set amount of time. But then I'm scrolling more, and one of the next things I'd see is a friend of mine. Hey, you can be up there. He's sitting on a boat dock with his granddaughter. That's Glenn Wilson, if any of you guys know Glenn Wilson. He's sitting there with his granddaughter, and he put up a status that said essentially that it took him a long time to realize it, but those moments right there are the valuable ones to him, and getting to spend quality time with his grandkids and with his kids. And he put something about the fishing pole was $13 and the worms was $3, but the time spent with his kids was far more valuable with his grandbaby there. So I saw that, and then whenever I think about the fishing thing, I took Bud fishing 3 or 4 times last year, and all the times that I took him, no fish. We didn't catch a single fish. One, he got one hooked, one of the trout, and gets it up to the shore, and then those things just slip off the hook, and it was gone on its way. So Bud never got a chance to catch a fish. So this year I'm determined that I'm going to take him fishing again, but somewhere where there's a scuba diver that can kind of hook one on there and he can pull out a fish, or else he's going to hate fishing. No, I've got some friends that have ponds, and they're like, hey, bring him out to our pond, and he'll be sure and catch a catfish or something out there. So that's what I want to do. But these three things that I was seeing is where, you know, I saw this one and I read that, and things just kind of clicked into place about the common theme that we have with all these things, and that's that we have like this limited amount of time with our families, with our kids, and with our parents if we're, you know, kids, all that kind of thing. So time is just kind of ticking away. And I thought of Psalm 39:4 that says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. Whenever I think of those three things, that's what they did. They reminded me of, you know, how brief our time is here on earth. It seems like it wasn't that long ago that, you know, I could hold Katie in my hands, that were evidently a lot skinnier then, but I could hold her in my hands like this, and she was a little baby, and now she's, you know, 15, and we're learning how to drive, and in another couple years she'll be off in college. So our days are numbered, and we don't know when our time is up here on earth. It could be today. Any one of us could pass away today into the next lifetime. It could be next week. It could be and well into our years. There's people living to be over 100 now. So there's a lot of people that we just live our lives. We don't know when the next second is going to be gone. And that can be scary, or it can be something that is a good thing, that we know that we're going to go and spend our eternity with Jesus. But the people that do get a little bit of advance notice, it's kind of uncool that they do, because they've got, by the time that you realize that something is wrong and you go to see a doctor to find out about this thing, and then they're like, oh, you have this that's eating away at you. It could be a variety of things. It could be that, you know, eating, flesh eating thing. It could be cancer. It could be a variety of things that is eventually going to take you away from this earth. But then you're like rushed. It's like it's too late. You know when your time is, but there's all these things that you can't do. So it's not really all that fun to even think about the people that get some advance notice and they know when their life's going to live. It's a lot easier to just live out your life and kind of do everything that you can and everything that you want to do, and love Jesus the entire time. But the author of Job says this right here, and this is in 14, and it's verse 5. Since his days are determined and the number of his months is with you, and you have appointed his limits that he cannot pass, look away from him and leave him alone, that he may enjoy like a hired hand his day. So we know that God has established this date and time that is going to be our last here on earth. And there's no way that we can defeat this date or do anything that's going to change that. There's this end that we don't know about. And so I think that we need to make the absolute most out of all the time that we get here on earth with our families, with our friends, and all the things that are really important, instead of chasing all these different things that aren't really important at all. So we need to spend our time honoring Jesus. And if we do want to live longer, the Bible teaches us that we need to honor our parents. And I know I've done a lot of failing at that. Is there anybody else that hasn't done a great job at honoring their parents? Yeah, probably pretty much everybody, except for Katie. Katie's like not putting up her hand over there. It's like, I do everything to honor my mom and dad. So the thing that I want to talk about today is like the set amount of our time that we've got, this set amount, and our children have a set amount of time, and we don't know when that's going to be. And we think of like Joe Biden and losing his son. His son was 46 years old, I think is what the news said. So he didn't know that time was coming. And that is terrible, to have to lose a child no matter when that is. I don't think that it matters if they're in their late 40s or 50s or if they're really young. We still feel like we need to go before our kids. I know that I don't want to have to be there whenever all of our kids pass away. Even though my plan is to live forever, and so far so good, I still want them to have the same thing. There goes Amber again. I'm kidding, y'all. So, yeah, that's true. We're going to live forever in heaven, just not here. So we need to spend all the time that we can with our children, just pouring and pouring Jesus into them. We need to send them out into this vicious world that we've got out there, all this class of 2015 that's about to enter into college and enter into a new era of life where they're adults and they have to kind of fend for themselves. We need to send them out with the armor of God. But we don't want to send them out with this bright, shiny armor that's not scuffed up or dented or anything. We want to send them out there with just a little bit of beat up on it. So they've got some scuffs on that helmet and the breastplate of righteousness, and so that they've been through a little bit, even if it's practice fights. Whenever you're going to joust, they would have practice jousting. Whenever they would do the fencing, they practice all the time, and they get dings and scuffed up. And we need to practice with our children the things of God, because the same thing that Satan started back in the beginning when he was deceiving Eve out of life, because you guys know we were meant to have life and continue living life, because they had a tree of life that they could just keep eating off of and they would continue to live. But Satan tricked them back then into not having that tree, because whenever they disobeyed God, they were cast from the garden, and now they've got nothing to eat from. And that's where death kind of began for people. So Satan is still in that same deceiving business. And the things that I think of whenever I think about that is like, we raise up our kids and we spend quality time with them, but we may not be living our lives out how we should. And then these kids, they go off to college and they're listening to their professors, these intellectuals, and they're teaching them all these different things, and they're saying, you know, Jesus is a myth and God's a myth, and people, religious people, use this, and here's these facts, and here's science, and evolution proves this, and they go through all this stuff, and next thing you know, the devil's tricked our kids and they're not accepting of Jesus at all or God, and they're going to live out their lives that way if we don't continue to influence them and keep prayerfully asking Jesus to interject into their lives, because Satan is still in that deceiving business right now, and more than ever right now. Like I said, you go and look at the Bo Biden's deal and people posting on Facebook, it's a Christian then an atheist, and all these hateful things spewing back and forth. So we need to be a big part and spend that valuable time with our kids, because we can't rely on the church to train up our children. The church can only do so much. You know, even if we had as many services as some of the other churches, and we were here Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday and had all these other things, the church can still only do so much, but we're part of our children's lives all the time. Proverbs 22 tells us to train up a child in the way of righteousness, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So it's our job. It's our job to train up our children and to make it our mission to preach the gospel to our kids all the time and give them all the tools that they're going to need to defeat Satan in the spiritual warfare that they're going to go through whenever they're grown up and they're not with us every day to try and shield and protect them, because he's still scheming, conniving, and we need to be spiritual warriors. And whenever they leave our house and they're prepared, we need to be praying for them constantly that they have everything that they need. And we also want to have a valuable enough relationship with them that if they're having some questions and they're not understanding some things and they're looking at these things on Facebook or the internet or college professors and they're bombarding them with all of these lies, that our relationship is close enough, they'll come back to us and say, hey, here's what is being told to me, and this makes a lot of sense, Mom and Dad. And then you can say, yeah, but if you look at it from what the Bible says, and here's where their lies are in this stuff, they're telling you this, but that's not the way that this really laid out at all, and they're just not understanding because they don't believe the same. They don't believe that the Bible is the divine word of God, and they're taking everything out of context to suit what they want the thing to say. So we need to be setting a godly example for our children. Whenever I think about that, like my daughters, Katie and Ariel, they need me to teach them how a man loves God and how a man that loves God is going to treat them. They see and they learn from the way that I treat Amber. They see and they learn from the way that I treat them. They see and learn from the way that I treat other people, how a woman should be treated. And I want them to want a godly man whenever they grow up and whenever they start having relationships with people, so that they're seeking him first and not just the things of this world. My son, he learns how a man should treat women from the way that he watches how I treat Amber, how I treat his sisters, how I treat other people, and he also learns how to fix motorcycles from me. But all that responsibility falls back on me, and I fail at that on a daily basis. I can let my temper get the best of me, or I could say something wrong or say something disrespectful, but I need to rely on Jesus heavily so that whenever I am in front of my children and my actions are displaying what a godly man should look like, so that they can use me as an example. And now I want to look at Deuteronomy 11, about how we are to teach our children about God's word and his commandments. And it says, talking about the commandments, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. So how often does that seem like we should be talking about the commandments with our kids? All the time. All the time we should be talking with our kids. And then on top of that, we have Paul, who told the Corinthian church to imitate, he says, imitate me while I imitate Christ. How bold of a statement is that of Paul to say, you know, do what I do because I'm going to be imitating Christ. And I think that's how we should all be leading by example, is we should all be trying to do what Jesus is doing and imitate him, so that the people around us can imitate what we're doing and grow closer to Jesus, because eventually we want to step out of the way and say, right there is where your focus needs to be. Imitate him. He is far better than I could ever, ever be. But we should all want to look at our families and say, hey, I want you guys to start watching me. I want you to start watching my actions, start watching my words, start watching how I steer the motorcycle. No, I'm kidding. But start watching everything about us. And then and I want you to act like me, because I'm going to act like Jesus. Now, if we say that to our families, what's going to happen? They're probably going to start watching what we're doing. They're probably going to start modeling themselves after us, and we don't want to be a bad model, because we're going to make Christ look bad. So it should be our goal to be a model of Jesus Christ, so that our families can watch what we do and grow and learn from his word and from the Holy Spirit. How many of you guys have kids that are actually moved out of your house? Y'all do. Wow, like everybody except for me and Amber, looks like. So whenever your kids were all grown up and they moved out, did you feel like you had enough time with them? No? Did you teach them everything they needed to be taught before they got moved out into the real world? Mm-mm. Because time seems to fly by, and we never seem to get enough of it, but we know, because the Word teaches us, that our days are numbered, and we know that We need to make the absolute most out of it. And we need to know that the Great Commission is to go out and make disciples and teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us. And disciples are just basically students of a teacher. We've got like a set amount of time of exactly 18 years to pour into our children and let them learn from us. And then as soon as they hit their 18th birthday, they move out of the house. Right, Big Dave? So we have this set amount of time that we need to pour into our kids. You know, usually 18, 20 years. In my son's case, it'll probably be more like 30 that he's going to be living in our house. But we need to pour as much as we possibly can into our kids during that short amount of time that seems like an eternity at first. But then as we get to be older, it seems like it goes by so quickly. Watching 15 years pass since Katie was born is just phenomenal. But they're watching us like all the time during that time that they're growing up, and we need to be Jesus to everyone, but especially to those that are in our house. We need to show them that Jesus loves us, and we need to love them the same way that Jesus loves them, so that they know that they're always loved. That way that whenever these kids do grow up and they go off to college and stuff, they can feel like what they're hearing is wrong because they've been taught that, and that they're willing to come back and learn more about from us. And sometimes we're going to have questions that we don't know the answers to. They're going to come back from college or come back from work or come back from somewhere, and they're going to have all this stuff that they're going to be trying to beat us down with. And that's whenever we can bring in our brothers and sisters of Christ and say, hey, here's the stuff that they're being taught. You know, I don't really understand what they're talking about, so help me to understand this so that I can teach my kids. So we have to work together as a church also on our families. Colleges are teaching that science is science and the Bible is a Bible, and those two don't really intermingle, but from what my study shows, science and the Bible, they go hand in hand, and they are able to teach us a lot, unless we're talking about, you know, evolution or something like that. But the Bible and science can definitely go hand in hand. What can happen sometimes to these kids that they run off and go to college and they learn all this new stuff and they decide that they don't believe in God anymore, they don't believe in Jesus, and they start living their lives for themselves instead of putting Jesus first. I know, I've been there, not to become an atheist, but started living for myself for sure. And then at some point in their life, they hit some kind of a point where God's like, okay, I'm bringing you back into the fold, and you've been lost for a while now, and I'm going to bring you back over here, and I want you to start living your life for me. And then these kids are going to get mad at their parents for not explaining the gospel the way that the Bible explains it to them, and they can actually get mad at their parents for not doing that because of the way that they grew up. So that happens sometimes. I've seen people post, I grew up in a Christian home, but my parents never explained the gospel this way to where I could understand it like that, because, you know, it just happens. So these are the questions that I came up with to ask myself, and I think we could all ask ourselves this question, is, do I want my kids to imitate the way that I walk with Jesus? Do I want them to imitate that? Is my walk with Jesus something that I would want them to imitate? Do I make Jesus a priority in my life like what I should? Is he the top notch? Is he everything that I care about? Is Jesus the one thing that out of everything I need in my life versus anything else? And also, am I giving them the tools that they'll need in life to fight the spiritual battles that they'll face in life? All those different things in college and work and all the different things out there, am I equipping them like what I should be to face those battles? And is my relationship, again, strong enough with them that they're willing to come to me to learn more? And if we have to answer no to any of those questions, then we probably need to start working harder toward that goal of being able to imitate Christ so that we can tell others to imitate us while we imitate him. Because that clock just keeps on ticking. Not that one, it stays the same the whole time, but clocks are just ticking. Our time is running out. We don't know when that appointed time is that God has for us where we're going to say goodbye to this world, to our kids, to our families, to our friends, to everybody. We don't know when that's going to be, so we have to do everything that we can. We should be reading the Bible daily with our family. And if we If we want to do something different, then we can get a devotional. We've got a devotional that we were doing that I can't think of the title of it, but it was a daily devotional, and I want to start doing that again with my family because we kind of got off track and stopped doing that. But another thing that will help me is if you guys will hold me accountable to that. Like I want to start tomorrow night on this devotional, and I want to be able to do that daily. And next Sunday, you guys could say, James, how did your devotional go this week? Did you do that? And if I'm like, yeah, I did it every day except for Wednesday, then why didn't you do it on Wednesday? And I'll give you an excuse, and you love me and say, okay. But we want to hold each other accountable to doing that. So I'd love for you guys to just ask me, even in the middle of the week, you know, you text me or call me, hey, did you do the devotional? So we do that. Last year, we read the New Testament together. How many of you guys were here when we did that, when we did the New Testament? We listened to it. It was like 40 days, wasn't it? 40 days, I think. 40 days. So for the fall, I want to try and put together the audio. And I found it at one time. I'm going to look for it again for the Old Testament. And it's going to be longer than 40 days. The Old Testament is really, really long. It'll probably take all fall and into the beginning of the new year to do the Old Testament. But I want to get together the audio and also just that plan so that those that want to read are able to read that. Was kind of funny, and I'm proud of him. I wish that he was here, and it's not written down here. But Travis Copenhaver, he got out his Bible app and turned on the audio thing while he's out working in the lumber yard, and he listened to the Bible like, you know, six or seven hours a day. And whenever he got to the end of Revelation, he just turned around and went over to Genesis, and he started listening to Genesis all the way up through again, listened to the whole Bible again, and then started over. And I think he said he did that two or three times. So while he was working, he listened to the whole Bible. That was what he spent his time listening to. So that's pretty cool that we can do that. So anyway, I want to do the best that we can to make the most use of the time that God's given us for our children, to be able to equip them. I want to build up that armor on them and put some scuffs on it in a protected environment where we can ask our kids questions, and we can see things on Facebook, and we can ask our kids what they think about that. Something this week that our kids had a conversation about. And I'm sorry, I'm pretty open in what I'm willing to discuss with my children, and we don't have anybody else's kids here. But we read this whole thing on Amber had shared a link on her Classic Housewife of these rules for parts other people can touch, I guess is a good way to put that. Protecting yourself. And so when I watched that, I was like, well, our kids, you know, have the answer to that. I've never been afraid to talk about that. So bring them in here and start with Ariel and start asking her all these questions. And she answered everything exactly like what she should. There's all these rules that have been there since they were little and implanted that these things. And then someone else, you know, I posted something on the wall, and then someone else came in and posted, and I felt bad because their children had ended up being I'm trying to think of another word. They'd ended up being molested by someone living in the home, and she had said that there's these other things that you need to do, and I agreed with what she had said on there, that it needs to be, she's like, it's close, people close to the kids that are doing this. So we talked about that, and that's putting scuffs on that armor and what is okay and what's not okay. Whenever you read something that someone that doesn't believe says, you can go, okay, well, I need to learn more about that because that's something that could come up. And then you make it come up. You ask your kids, you know, what do you think about this Jesus is a myth thing? And then you give them tools, like there's secular people, authors that wrote about Jesus. It's not just in the Bible like they'll have you believe. Jesus was talked about outside of that. So we want to do things that's going to build up that armor in a protected environment. I'm almost done, I promise. So I want to read Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. This says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. And that's from Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. So we need to be preaching the gospel to our kids. No matter what age our kids are, we need to be constantly pouring the gospel into our kids so that they know that, so that they know what it is. I just realized that I'm wearing the audio still. If we don't know how we can share the gospel with our kids on a regular basis, I really like Romans 6:23. It's like the one verse evangelism, and I think we played a video one time with that. But the verse is, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the very first part of that right there, it says the wages of sin is death, because we all fall short of God, right? We've talked about the Ten Commandments. We can compare ourselves to any of the Ten Commandments, and we all fall short. So there's a cost. There's a cost whenever we don't obey God. Whenever we sin against Him, there's a cost for that. So that's the wages of sin. There's a cost for it, and that's death. We're going to die. We're going to die someday. And that is what the cost is of our sins, is death. And then the next part is talking about the gift of God, the free gift of God, because there's nothing we can do. There's nothing that we're not going to be good enough, or we're not going to do enough good things that we can earn our way into heaven. So God gives us this free gift of Jesus, who came and died on the cross to be the payment for our sins. That was His free gift to us. And He gives us eternal life because of that in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's kind of the summary of the gospel. And we need to be preaching that into our kids. And we need to be teaching them how to trust Jesus with their lives, with everything that they do in their life, so that they know that that's the most important thing, and the thing that they should always have their focus on is Jesus and what Jesus wants them to do, and how their actions reflect our Lord Christ. Whatever we do reflects on Jesus. And it's sad that that's really the way that it works, but I've seen things on social sites out there, be it Facebook or MySpace or whatever, where somebody's taking a picture of somebody throwing trash out of the side of their window, and they're like, yeah, they got their church sticker on the back of their, some Christian that they are, that's the way Christians act, and it's not the way that every Christian acts. So we need to spend the time with our children, preaching the gospel constantly into their hearts, so that they are able to feel that living water that's going to boil up out of them into all those around them, and they're going to be known as the people that don't worship idols and love all the people, including the people that persecute them. And that is my message for today. So I'm just going to pray for us real quick, and then we got some announcements. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the lessons that we can learn from Your Word, and that it is so useful in so many ways that You spoke to these men that authored the different books of the Bible so that we could learn more about You and learn to grow in You. Father, I just ask that You would use every one of us to minister to our children, because we don't know when our time is going to be up here on earth. It could be at any time. Only You know that. But God, we want to ask You to guide us to preach the gospel of Your Son, Jesus Christ, into their hearts, and that we can constantly be pouring into them and equipping them for everything that they're going to need in this tough life that we live in this culture that we live in, where people are turning away from You at every corner. But there's also so many people turning to You right now for answers. And we look at things and we wonder, is this the end times? Are these the signs that You talk about? And they could be, but we just want to live our lives every single day for You and always be prepared, so that whenever that time comes, it is time for us to leave here on earth and go to live in eternity, that we've chosen You and that we have made You the Lord of our lives, so that we get to spend eternity in worship of You. Father, You are such an awesome God for all that You do in our lives, all that You do in the lives around us, and all that You're doing in this church, and we just thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.